The second at Healesville is due in about 3 or 4 minutes, and we've got our special guest Shirley Hunter and Peter Bergen with us on site as well. And we might say g'day to them and get as far as we can go before we go to Healesville, Dan. And it's a great pleasure to have a chat to two local legends up here. And Peter's been a local trainer for a long time, and then Shirley the Gypsy came into his life, and then everything changed quite some years ago. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. How are we? All good?
Andrew Rule wrote a story that I couldn't get to because of the paywall. So I only read the first paragraph, and it said something like, you were heartbroken, things weren't going too well, and then this lady came into your life some years ago. It sounds like a lovely romantic story, Pete.
No, fantastic, actually. I've known Shirl since 1997. She rode a mare for me at Berrigan one day, a mare called Glove Puppet, and she was a really good wet tracker. And she won races in Melbourne and so forth, and Shirl ran third on her, and anyway, she got the flick after that. But the mare went on and ran. But I've known Shirl for a long time, and we've been great mates, and anyway, we hooked up 12, 13, 14 years ago. And we've been got married and fantastic life.
Yeah, it is a fan. It just looks like you've got it. You know, you've got the stable jockey sitting to your left here, and it's not a huge operation. And I don't imagine it comes with the same sort of headaches as major operations. But I imagine being a racing stable, there are all sorts of ups and downs along the way. But when you've got a partner who's singing off the same song sheet, it does help, doesn't it?
Oh no, it's fantastic. It's like we've only got 11 horses in work, and we keep about 10 to a dozen sort of thing. But the hours that we do between Shirl and I and mate of mine, Steve, that is our stable manager, the hours that we do is unbelievable. And I think it's shown in results.
Shirley, we're gonna have a quick chat here, but I've just got an eye on this Healesville race, which is on in a minute and 20 seconds. He pinned you down, didn't he? Because you'd gone all around the place in your life, and it's an amazing life story starting in New Zealand. And you were a bit of a gypsy for a while, but this is your home now, and it's been that way for quite some time.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, settled.
Peter Bergen and Shirley Hunter. Guys, before we start talking about your lovely relationship and your separate life stories, just on what we're looking at today, Shirley, you were telling me yesterday that they'd had a lot of rain here early in the week, and it would have been about a 9 on Tuesday, but it's staying as a 9 now, but at least it hasn't got worse.
Yes, true. No, well, we've had rain every week for weeks, and the week before, and probably Monday and Tuesday was a heavy 15, so we really needed a couple of fine days. Everybody was sweating on it. So
yeah, well, is that right?
We've come back to a heavy 8, kind now.
Pete, if we get a thunderstorm early, how confident are we today of getting through?
Look, on Monday, Tuesday, it's just Shirl touched on, there was a lot of surface water on the track, and we've had a couple of days without not too much rain, so it sort of absorbed the moisture. But if we had a thunderstorm later in the day, I think you'd be treading pretty lightly, you know. Probably visibility might be the problem. The track will be fine. All the guys have done a fantastic job with the track, but it's probably maybe visibility if it would come down to that.
You've had a bit of bad luck with the track here. We were just talking with Cam Symes before, and there was that hole on the track, and then there was the watering issues. It would have been very frustrating as local trainers to not race at your track for quite a period of time.
Yeah, it was pretty tough. We had to go to Wangaratta, eh, Dolan?
Mm.
And, you know, to get our horses worked and all that. And we've got our own training facility on our property. But when you want to gallop on the grass, like I've got the horse in the last race today, Lord Domino, I wanted to gallop him on Monday or Tuesday for his last gallop to have him right for today, and we couldn't get on the track. So whether he's going to go in just underdone by a gallop, or whether his residual fitness is going to hold him up, because he won really well at Bendigo.
He's a seriously good horse, isn't he? He's the best one to come along for a while, isn't he, for the stable, which is fantastic. Tell us a bit about the training setup. You've got a farm off course. Cameron was telling us that they are building on course boxes, and I just assume that they're on course trainers, but everyone has to come from off site. So tell us about what it's like training at Benowa.
Oh, you go, sure. Yeah, it's good. That's we've got a 40-acre property. We've got a sand track. We've got a figure of eight track inside the sand track. We've got a swimming pool, a horse walking machine. We've got all the bells and whistles, so to speak. And where we are, it's only 8 minutes from our place to here. So if we want to come into Benalla Races and Benalla Race Course, we just put them on the track and give them a spin around and go home, and it's quite relaxing for the horses. They love it.
Very central when you're able to utilise some of the tracks, and there's plenty of them in the Riverina, you know, that New South Wales component, you would have lots of options, I imagine, from Wangaratta to Wodonga and then inside over to Albury, or if there's Coral or Berrigan, as you mentioned before. There seems like a decent spot to have places that are less than 2 hours away.
Well, probably pretty much the furthest I really travel is about 3 hours, and that can take me to Sandown and it can take me to Wagga. And you put a compass around all that area, and as you're saying, Dan, we're only a very short distance to every track. And it's so basic, and it's so brilliant, you know, around here, you know.
Now, one of those tracks 3 hours away is Moonee Valley. Now, there's December 11, 2020. Have a listen to this. Mikey, if you can cue up the Lady Day race, and then we're going to talk to Shirley about why this was such a big day.
Glamour Fox in front. Lady Day a length away and running on D-Keeper. Our Birdsong hugs the fence. Glamour Fox front runner. Lady Day's moved up and grabbed it in a stride. Lady Day hit the lead. Mr. Meter getting out late from D-Keeper. Lady Day in front of Glamour Fox and the late finishing Mr. Meter. And Lady Day for Shirley Hunter. Well done. Comes to town and wins from Mr. Meter.
Well, I think Terry Bailey sort of summed up that there was a bit involved with that. And then I spoke to you afterwards. It was a breakthrough win because you hadn't ridden one in town for quite a while. But you were pretty crooked that day from memory, weren't you?
I was. I'd been crook for a week.
So it was a very courageous performance from you, wasn't it?
I didn't know if I could pull it off or not, actually.
How crook were you?
Oh, I was vomiting before I got in the truck, before we left.
Yeah, right. Did you nearly pull out?
I was thinking about it. I was close to it, and then Pete goes, you can do it.
Well, I said, no, you can't bail out now, darling. I said, you've got to keep going.
Because it had been a few years, hadn't it, since you'd ridden a winner in town?
Yeah, Grandside One was my first winner in town.
And that was about 2015 or something from memory?
2014, yeah. Yeah, so that was pretty special.
What was that feeling like?
He was a great little horse. He was our pinnacle horse, wasn't he? But, you know, like, that really started us getting more owners and started improving our team, you know, to get better quality horses. But we also got a lot of owners from that horse. And he was a real crowd follower too. Like, everywhere we went, everyone goes, oh, we backed that horse. We follow him everywhere. So he was just he had a bigger heart than ability. You know, he was just pretty special like that. So.
And every trainer wants horses like that, that try hard. Did you ride in New Zealand?
Yeah. I was apprenticed in New Zealand, Alan Linda Jones. And then when my time was finished, Jones sent me over to Colin Audison's with the plain flow horses, and I ended up staying. So one day he come over and he said, you're coming back? I says, oh, I'm quite happy here.
That would have been in a time, they would have had some top horses back then. So do you remember some of the horses that you would have been dealing with both in NZ and over here with the Audison's?
We had Jolly Jake, who won the Derby over there, and he was sold to Hong Kong. Most of them got sold, because that's how Alan made his money. Yeah. You know, it's the only way to make money in New Zealand back then. My Tristan's Bell won the Oaks here. Apollo Run, most of them, yeah.
Sea Legend, was he around
there? Sea Legend, yes, I rode. Well, he came over while I was over here, and I was riding him track work at Collins. And then he ran third in the Melbourne Cup, and he got stripped behind just after the gate, so that was a huge effort, you know, to run third.
Was this just before the Sky Heights in a flurry era, or were you there?
Yeah, that was before then.
Yeah, yes. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you moved around a little bit, didn't you? I remember running into you when the EI was on, Dan, and Like a Falcon was stuck on the other side of the river at Coral. It was just this weird symbolic story of being on the wrong side of the river because of the barrier between New South Wales and Victoria, and he was favourite for the Melbourne Cup. And you were riding track work up at the Freyers at the time, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And I rode him work, and yeah, it wasn't nothing special. Look at the horse, but just when you sat on him, he was just this massive stride and just flowed, you know.
Big, lean, narrow sort of horse, I remember from memory. And I remember I had a rotten case of the flu when I was up there, and we're walking around the track, and I couldn't even walk a lap of the Benalla track because I was pretty fit at the time. Was that heartbreaking up at that stable at that time where that horse couldn't get to Melbourne for the Melbourne Cup? What was it like with him being stuck like a falcon?
Yeah, I remember Richie tried everything, you know, to get him across, but they just wouldn't allow him. across. So it was very heartbreaking, especially when the horse was flying. And then a lot of horses that time, with the injections they'd had for the COVID, it just ruined them. They never come back, you know. So he'd had them never come back the same.
So is that why he never recaptured form? Because he got the inoculation against the EI?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Gee, I didn't realise that was a byproduct of that. So, yeah, that's interesting.
You had horses too, Pete, didn't you? That affected them?
Yeah, we had a numerous number that... Well, he had their first injection for the EI and then had their second one, and then he was supposed to do the third one, but they didn't come back. They were just flat. They showed ability, but they just couldn't produce it on race day.
Because overseas, though, it's a standard inoculation, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Peter Bergen and Shirley Hunter are our guests. We're on track live at Benalla on Cup Day. Matt Stewart and Dan Malicki here. Pete, looking at the figures, I always worry with trepidation that sometimes the figures aren't quite correct. But looking at the racing.com site, it suggests to me that Lord Domino's win last start was your 100th winner as a trainer.
Yeah, that's right, Dan. Those figures came out in 2000, I think. And I got my trainer's licence first in 1983. I trained my first winner. And that was when I was living in Tumbarumba. So I've trained a few more than what it says on the thingo, but I'm happy to take the 100.
Well, it sounds impressive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
100.
You reckon they've robbed you of one or two, do you? You reckon it's 104?
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, it says first winner was Brown Babe, is that right?
That was when I was in Victoria. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but previous to that... I used to break a lot of horses in for, back in the day, every farmer had a mare and a foal. And, you know, they bred their own horses by, I broke in a lot of Ecuadoras, and if they couldn't buck, they were no good, so you'd just get rid of them. And we'd get I'd get all these horses that never seen a white person sort of thing, and to break them in. And I, to cut a long story short, I had a horse, I break my leg, that smashed me up, and I thought, I'm not going to make a living in Tumbarumba if I want to train horses. So anyway, I just floated around, moved to Benalla, and thought, this is pretty good, I'll settle here.
Where's Tumbarumba from here?
It's an hour and a half north of Albury on the foothills of the Snowy Mountains.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and it's a lovely place.
Take us back to that era, because it's amazing, you know, when we think of the breeding world, you think of these gigantic operations and magic millions and ridiculous prices and so on, but there was a different era going back 40 or 50 years where it was, like everyone around Bacchus Marsh that I knew had a trotter out the back. So it was just a sort of a part of natural life. So just most of the farms around that area at the time, was there a old thoroughbred mare at the back who was always going to drop a foal, and that was just something that was part of life up there, was it?
Pretty much, mate. Everybody had a mare and a foal, and they bred them out of boy whatever, and
the staying up the road type thing.
Staying up the road job. Yep. And as I said, I used to break a hell of a lot of men, and they'd never seen anybody before. They'd drop them at your on your doorstep. And you think, Jesus, how am I going to do this?
Do you remember the time in the race books? I remember growing up, and obviously the breeding would always be listed, but it wasn't uncommon to have sire not known, a few fence jumpers. Do you remember that sort of period?
Oh, could be him,
yeah,
or
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
Across all walks of life, actually, yeah. Dan, come to think of it.
That's when they tightened things up, I think, Dan. They said then they started doing all the blood testing and all this sort of stuff, you know. But you could have said to me it was by magic night out of the middle of the night sort of thing, and you'd take it for granted.
Yeah.
Okay, it was, you know, but... Yeah.
And most of them probably would have been homebreds. I don't think they would have been able to go through the sales with them. But
no. There
were cases of horses that would win, and yet the dad was unknown. The mare would be known, but the sire would be unknown.
Hey, Shirley, what's it like living in the Benalla area, training, riding? I know, as Pete said, location-wise, you're actually very well placed here to go north, south, east and west. But tell us a bit about the town. I mean, there's that beautiful... Is it a lake or a river? In the middle of town. It's a lake.
They call it a lake.
Yeah, because it looks like a real... We were able to get this wrong. Is it a lake or a river? But beautiful... It's a beautiful town, isn't it? And not many people who go Melbourne to Sydney see much of it, because you've got to go off on the Goulburn Valley Highway, don't you? So tell us a little bit about, you know, are there any hot spots in town? We went to a nice restaurant last night, lots of bakeries. Is it a nice place to live?
It is a lovely place to live, and people friendly, and plenty of cafes, eating spots.
Pubs?
It's relaxing.
You got a pub go to, you two?
Royal for lunch, don't
we? We sort of
we don't get out much.
Yeah, we're probably a little bit sort of hermits, aren't we, darling?
We are.
Yeah.
But happy hermits.
Happy hermits. Yes.
We share a friendship group though, the Jeff Wilkinsons and the Andrew Rules and all that crew.
Yes.
How did those guys come to get associated with the stable?
Oh, look, when I first moved here, and a good friend of mine and a good client of mine, Don Watson. I don't know if you know Don.
Yep.
Yep. Well, Don, he jumped on board. Him and there's numerous ones. There's Wilco and Andrew Rule. There's Peter Bartholomew. I don't know if you know Pete.
Yes.
They've been stable clients for 30 plus years. And they have been so staunch. I can ring them up and just say, listen, I bought your horse. And they say, did you? And I say, yep.
And great storytellers too.
They are.
You'd have some good. Yeah, I imagine around the fire barrel barbecue type thing, there'd be a lot of good yarns told. I would imagine with those guys. Mm.
But we've got an amazing bunch of clients. They are so fantastic. They've been stickers and through thick and thin. You know, they've had good horses, they've had slow horses, and some have passed on and all that sort of stuff. But they're just a great bunch of owners.
All right. Now, you said you've got a team of about 10, 11, 12 horses. Is there one that's unraced that's making you bounce out of bed in the morning?
Dan, we've got 11 there, and the horse that's racing today is the only one that's racing. But we've got a good quality of young ones coming through. We've got Hoyle and Reels. We've got a Seamus Award. We've got a Capitalist. We've got... What else have we got there, Phil?
Geez, you spend a bit. They're not bottom of the barrel.
No, they cost them a bit of money. Yeah, yeah. And I bought one the other day.
Well, it needs further. It goes good.
Yeah, it needs further. I bought one the other day. What was him?
I am Geronimo
off Chris Waller. Boy, I'm Invincible out of the Moore Joys family. So, we've got him. He turned up the other day. So we're... anybody out there, we need owners.
Yeah, well, there you go. There's a free ad there. We'll put your phone number across the... how tough is it? I mean, it sounds like you're a little bit aggressive about the sort of horses that you seek, because anything less and you're just not competitive. You're happy to... Well, not happy, I guess, because it's a financial burden, but it sounds like you've got a certain level that you won't go under for the type of horses you try and pursue. Sure?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, the last few years we've been able to improve our team and quality of horses, so which has been great. Because you need to, because it's so competitive. If you're not improving, you're not going to win races, are you? And you're not going to go forward.
No, exactly.
You've got three rides today, Shirley. We better just touch on... there's a couple of outsiders there, but they're sort of at a price on a heavy track you could have something on. One of the locally trained Power Glider in race number 4. Is there anything about it you can tell us about?
Darren Stompo, it's the first run for him. So I was originally trained by David Bourne, I think. Yeah. And, it handles the wet and... I actually worked the other morning and it gave me a good feel, and it probably run a cheeky race, but it does need ground by its form. And Libby, it always puts it, tries hard, and it does handle the wet too, so
special
it could run a place.
Courage in race number 6, they're both number 12s, and of course your best chance would have to be Lord Domino in the last, but Pete, as you were saying, maybe just be wary, missing that gallop the other day might... Or could be the difference.
Pretty much, Dan. You're spot on. Yeah, I was disappointed that I couldn't give him that final gallop on Monday or Tuesday, but no fault of anybody's. The rain has just been unbelievable, so we're going in there, fingers crossed. And he's not a big heavy horse, so that's his bonus. He's pretty wiry sort of horse, isn't he, Phil?
Yeah.
I backed him on the fixed odds last night at $9, and I'm feeling a little bit nervous now, or are you just a glass half empty type? Shirley, are you glass half full? What do you reckon about your big ride today in the last?
Well, I'm confident in the horse. And like Pete said, we did miss that gallop, so especially when you're going on heavy going, and he's got to carry 62 with a vest, so you've got to put down one. But No, I'm still confident.
I still believe in you.
I still feel confident that he could.
All right. Well, good luck. Good luck to both of you. Great to have a chat. You are royalty up here.
Yeah, it was terrific having a chat with you. It's good to know there's some lovely bred horses there, and hopefully the interview today you're able to get a few good owners out of it and your next best horses within that group.
Yeah, no, look, thanks, guys, for having us on, and we appreciate it, and all good.
All right, out to James Vandermark for the third at Healesville. Thanks, guys.